The Chinese Football Podcast, brought to you by Wild East Football.
Hello, and welcome to the Chinese Football Podcast, brought to you by Wild East Football. We're later than usual this week, but it's worth the wait with a special edition where we look back on the wrap-up of the Champions League group stages and look ahead to a truly titanic game coming up in the league. I am your host, as always, Steve Crooks, joined by our regular panel of experts, Cameron Wilson in Shanghai. How are you doing this week, Cam?
Hey, Steve, I'm good. Hope everyone's doing well.
And Brandon Chemers back in Beijing, fresh from an away trip, I believe, Brandon.
Yeah, back from Japan and ready for Shanghai.
Well, Tokyo and Shanghai, two fantastic cities. You didn't have happy hunting in the first one, though. And we will start the show with a look back on the denouement of the Champions League group stage. Guan, the only Chinese side that hasn't made it through. I mean, they were always kind of chasing the game in the end this week. I'm not necessarily sure that it's this last round where they really lost it. For me, it's maybe that 0-0 at home where they did everything except score against Uro, and they were always playing catch up from there. Brandon, is that a fair assessment of the campaign?
It's relatively fair. What it comes down to is they didn't win against Urawa despite all the chances that were created. This time around, you know, they were without Zhang Shijue and Li Lei for different reasons. I think Schmidt was a little conservative with the lineup. And, you know, Chi Zhongguo going out with an injury early in the match hurt, as well as Bakambu had a real opportunity of a chance. And this is why, as we talked about last week, why a lot of the fans are down on Bakambu is that, you know, he's had a lot of chances in big matches, especially the two Urawa matches that he missed. And, you know, if that went a little differently, I think we're talking about a different situation. But the misses kept things 0-0 and Urawa pressed and they got goals. And it is what it is. But it's not all that disappointing as things go.
Yeah, and the result presumably celebrated for multiple reasons in Shanghai, Cam, with the old Shenhua Uroa friendship as well.
Yeah, it was I was quite surprised. I thought Guan would be one of the teams that make it, but as Brandon said, it was the 0-0 result against Uroa the first time around, which tripped them up there. So I think Guan are pretty much got a clear run at the CSL title now.
Yeah, and we'll talk a bit about the title race and the massive game they have coming up there. I mean, does this make the season kind of CSL or bust at this point, Brandon, in order for it to be a success for Guan in terms of the club and fan expectations?
Yeah, I mean, I think this makes the league even more important. Even in last week, I talked about the focus has to be on the league. This year is the league, next year is the ACL. And I think they really do want to win the ACL. They want to compete. This year wasn't going to be that year, so it's okay to be knocked out if they win the league, if they get back into the ACL next year. And we'll see what happens continentally next year.
Yeah, and one side who might be focusing more on the ACL is, of course, Shanghai International Port Group. They didn't always have it easy in the group stages, but they had it very easy in the end on the last game day, kind of coasting through against Ulsan, who'd already won the group and sent a reserve side. Do you think that the ACL and its kind of place in their legacy might be the primary focus for them moving forwards now, Cam?
It could well be. It was a very handsome victory. As you said, it was against reserve side, though. To be honest, I'm not very familiar with Ulsan's lineup, but SIPG certainly put out an extremely strong team. I think only Hulk wasn't playing. I don't know if he was rested or if he was injured, but it was quite an impressive show, and an Oscar hat-trick as well. So I think they'd be definitely very happy to be going into the next round. I think, was it year before they got to the semi, right? So I think they'll definitely be putting quite a lot of emphasis on the ACL this time, although we'll see what happens later on in the season when it comes to fixture crunch time, when there's a lot of games played in a short length of time because of the long international breaks which China's taken.
Yeah, exactly. And we can preview those ties closer to them, perhaps. But I think it's worth mentioning, Brandon, that they do get Jeonbuk next, who gave Guan a really hard time in both of their games there. Do you think that any Chinese sides are going to be able to topple the big Korean teams this year?
No, not at all. Jeonbuk is hands down well and above the class of any CSL side right now. And, you know, I have a feeling that SIPG gets a draw at home and then loses 2-0 or something at Jeonbuk. They're just too good. They're on another level above any of the CSL sides.
I think as well, we have to recognize some of the Japanese teams as well. The Guan-Urawa game, I think Urawa just had, I think only had two foreigners playing. So that's basically nine Japanese plus two foreigners who, I've got to be honest, I hadn't heard of these guys who play for Urawa, so they're not the biggest names. I think that shows you that it's also the Japanese teams are pretty strong as well.
Well, but that's not a Japanese thing. And I didn't want to get into this, but you mentioned it, so we can talk about it. This goes back to the Evergrande two-foreigner policy. If you look at Olsen, if you look at Jeonbuk, if you look at the Korean sides that do well in the ACL, they often only play with one or two foreigners in the matches. They very rarely use all four foreigners that they're able to. It's not per se a team policy announced hands down that there's going to be this limited foreigners, but that tends to be something we see a lot from the Korean sides. And it's just a matter of that the Korean players are up to snuff or up to class, or the clubs aren't willing to pay the money, or I think it's more a little of both. But, I think Evergrande is sort of chasing that. And in theory, if not for the political, if not for everything else, that's a good thing. But obviously, this is China. There's other factors involved. But it's not only a China thing. We see it across the board as not necessarily a club policy, but something that goes on.
It's a good point, actually. I think on the face of it is a good thing. But I think the fact is that these teams, domestic players, have significantly stronger than who Evergrande's got. Your top Korean and Japanese teams, their domestic players are quite a bit stronger than even Evergrande's Chinese players. Maybe I think for Chinese clubs, I think it'd be a good thing if it turned out that way, because if you look at the K-League and the J-League, certainly if you take the foreigners away from the Chinese teams, these teams would be pretty strong compared to CSL clubs. So if it does go in that direction, that would be a good thing. But making it a club policy like Evergrande has, that's a different matter entirely.
And we will get onto the club policy a little bit when we reflect on how they've kind of broken it already as well. I think as well it's worth pointing out that youth development, you know, doesn't happen overnight, and kind of trying to rip off that band-aid and immediately limit yourself is going to be, well, limiting. Although Evergrande did make it through. Brandon kind of predicted, I think, last time, Evergrande will Evergrande it. They did. One goal from Paulinho sending them through. They joined Shandong in the next round, and, you know, they're actually paired up against each other. Who do you fancy to win this one, or to take it more seriously, Cam? Because, again, neither of these sides are in the title race at home anymore. They must both be really kind of fancying a tilt in the ACL at this point.
I would fancy Shandong. Well, now that Evergrande seem to have broken their own rule, maybe they're going to make a habit of that. Whether that would make them stronger or not is a different matter, but I don't know. I think Shandong are probably the team I would fancy for that one. I think it's a little bit disappointing that it's the first knockout stage. You've got teams from the same country playing each other like that, but I mean, that's not the first time it's happened.
Yeah, and in fact, of the eight ties in this round of 16, four of them have teams from the same country facing off against each other. I mean, Brandon, we tend to big up the ACL, and then we certainly have a lot of respect for it and see a lot of potential in it as a competition, but ties like this don't really help, do they?
I kind of disagree. I don't see what the issue is. I think that this will domestic fans will be, it'll be much easier for fans to travel. It will definitely create excitement in China. You know, in the end, I have a feeling Evergrande will carry it. I disagree with Cammy. I think Evergrande will win in a walk, basically. But I think it's interesting. I think this is, you'd like to see a little more diversity at this stage, but separating East and West, then that's always going to happen this way. So I think it creates some interesting, you have some interesting rivalries, and domestic fans surely will be able to travel much easier than to some of the away matches.
Actually, I agree, actually, now you put it that way, because it's, especially for Evergrande and Shandong, if they're looking like they're a little bit falling away from the title race in the CSL already, it gives a little bit of interest to the season they might not normally have. I just think on the grand scheme of things, when you've got like four ties in the East region, in the West region, there's Al-Hilal. They're two teams from Saudi playing each other. In fact, there's two all Saudi ties. So there's been a lot of talk recently online about the ACL and a lot of kind of, you know, hand-wringing about why some of the attendances are down or some clubs are sending reserve sides. This doesn't really help when you've got this East-West division. I mean, and in this stage, actually, for the first knockout stage, it's fair enough. But I think the ACL, at the end of the day, it really needs to be more diverse country-wise to improve it. I think that would go some way towards solving some of the problems which the competition suffers at the moment.
Yeah, and we can talk more about kind of reforming the ACL, I guess, later on in the season as well. We've had a few good chats about it this year. It is in defence of the AFC. I think they have a thankless task to a degree because, you know, you have a really lopsided financial and team quality strengths as well from each of the countries. I mean, it's always in the East, it's Chinese sides, Korean sides and Japanese sides. So they are going to be facing each other sometimes. But we will look forward to these ties and we'll be guaranteed at least one side in the kind of quarterfinals to talk about as we move through the season. We're going to shift our focus back onto matters domestic. But before we do that, it's time for a short pause for our regular Phenomenon of the Week section.
The Wild East Football Phenomenon of the Week.
And the winner in a closely fought poll, actually, was the in memoriam that we had for Shenhua's famous fan Zhang Ai last week, held out by one of our favourite topics that we've spoken about and will speak about again, Evergrande and their selection policy, and Nico Yanaris and his act of kindness, unfortunately, down into third spot. This does mean, Brandon, that you get the first go at nominations this week. So what have you got for us? What have you brought back from your travels?
Well, if I have to go first, I'll rely on my travels and the experience at Urawa, the walk from the train station to the stadium. You see all posters for the teams, some of the old TIFOs. You get to the stadium, everything is Urawa. Inside the stadium, the fans are just amazing that, you know, anyone that can make the trip to Urawa at some point to watch a match. Amazing stadium, amazing fans, amazing team. Well worth it.
Nice. Jealous that I've not been there myself yet. Got to right that wrong one day. How are you going to follow that one up with a nomination of yours, Cam?
Mine's is coming out of left field. I'm going to nominate splash247.com, which is a transportation and shipping industry news portal, which broke some news that Chen Shuyuan, who is Shanghai International Port Group's chairman, and I quote, has been working in the port industry all of his career, is hotly tipped to become the Chinese Football Association's next chairman. So I would like to just nominate them for the sheer bizarreness, a shipping industry news outlet being a credible Chinese football news source.
Do they have a podcast? Can we get some side work there?
No, but they even retweeted my tweets quoting their story. So I think they seem to be quite happy to have diversified their readership. So, but anyway, yeah.
Excellent. Wow, it's really hard to follow up those two examples, he says, flipping desperately through his notes. I am going to, because I love this phrase, I'm going to nominate the scientific connotation of patriotism, which was the reported title of a lovely rousing speech that the Ladies World Cup squad got before they got sent off to the tournament, because say no more.
Stirring stuff.
We all love a bit of government interference. Exactly. That would inspire me to go beyond for my teammates, I'm sure. I love science and I love patriotism, and never before have the two come together. So there we go. Some strong nominations this week. We look forward, as always, to seeing how the listeners vote. Any write-ins are, of course, very welcome as well. But we are going to move onwards and talk a bit about the CSL. I want to finish with a preview of the massive game that's coming up, but we'll have a quick look back at the last round of games. Cam, I'm going to come to you on this one because it's your favourite hobby horse. Evergrande and their policy, I always thought they were going to break it at some point. I didn't think it would be this early in the season. I didn't think they would have to do it to beat Wuhan. What on earth is going on there?
I don't know. I think it just sums up Evergrande as basically becoming a bit of a joke outfit. I mean, if you're going to make such a policy, then stick to it. I mean, they would try to say that Browning's Chinese. Well, he's not Chinese. He's English. And he's not classed as a Chinese player. Who knows why? I don't know why he's not been naturalised already. maybe there's some things we don't know, but Guan managed to naturalise their player, Shimwasgo, their naturalised guy. So why did Evergrande not do it? I don't know. But the fact is, he's not Chinese, so they've broken their own policy. That said, I know he came on it just after half time. I don't know. I didn't see the game, to be honest. I don't know how pivotal his role was in their victory. I mean, and just want to make one point about Evergrande very briefly. I mean, this is a club. They've got this policy to only have two foreigners playing. But, you know, it was only like 5 years ago they got the rules changed just for them so they could have seven foreign players. So whatever's politically expedient, they will follow. And now that it's all the rage to have this focus on developing Chinese players, a focus which should have been there from the start, and a focus which is not compromised by having three foreigners instead of two, now they're suddenly focusing on this. So I don't really know why exactly they're doing it, but it looks very much like non-football things are at least a significant influence in this decision.
Hear, hear. It's not a lot we can add to that, I think. We'll move on. We have finally had our first managerial change of the season with Chris Coleman out on his era at Hebei. Brandon, I'm amazed by how much of an easy ride he seems to be getting in the media for this one without taking any of the blame. I mean, I know that there are other factors going on there and we've spoken about the lack of investment, but they were pretty dreadful under him. Do you think he should be copping a bit more criticism?
I don't think the Chinese media and the fans have let him off that easily. I mean, you know, the fans at Hebei were very much against him, even going into this match over the weekend. There was a banner saying, go home, basically. They're pretty obvious as to what they wanted. And I think that he has gotten a decent amount of blame for things, as well he should. I think this is not that bad a side. If you look at the players they have, they should be nowhere near the position they are, especially considering the way the league is right now. You know, there's, as we talked about last week, from basically 4 to 16, there isn't that much of a gap. Hebei should not be that far down. And I think he really needs to come in for a lot of blame for where they are right now.
Yeah, they're a side who are probably in a false position in terms of points, kind of worrying for the other teams down there. You know, speaking of that kind of race for fourth, which doesn't mean anything, Chongqing, who we've had lots of listener comments about, fell by the wayside and lost this week. Remarkably, looking at the table, Tianjin Taidao are right up there. Should they be the new hipsters' favourites, Cam? What on earth's going on? How are they going under the radar?
I have no idea. I had them to be a team who would be struggling against relegation this season. So
I think I had them going down, yeah.
Right, so I don't know. I really don't know what to say about them. I think I'm always fond of saying, you know, it's early days. So what, we're now, what, 8 games in? No, sorry, we're 10 games in. So that's a third of the season, sorry. So that's not so early, but yeah, I mean, they've won, their form's pretty good. They've only lost one in the last 5 games. So it seems like they're on a bit of a run, but I pretty much have a similar opinion about Tianjin as I do to Chongqing. I don't think either of these teams would be in the top half of the table by the end of the season. And I think it's, for now, they're a flash in the pan. So just watch me have to wipe the egg off my face when they qualify for the ACL or something like that. Let's see.
Yeah, that's not happening. I think this Tianjin side is just sort of, they got lucky schedule-wise. The way the schedule works out for most clubs this year, it's pretty even. There isn't really any teams that have a really long stretch of games that are very hard. And, you know, it's just a situation of everyone sucks. And so Tianjin just sucks a little less than everyone else right now. And I'm as surprised as everyone because, you know, I mean, Sandro Wagner isn't really doing very well for them. That was their big signing, the player that was supposed to really help them out. And he hasn't really done anything. I thought they'd be even worse than Tianhai. And yeah, that's not the case. So we'll see how things play out in the end. But yeah, I think it's a false position all around, including for Chongqing.
Yeah, and with so many of these teams not having a huge amount of quality between them, there's a little element of monkeys on typewriters in some of their positions at the moment, potentially. But a couple of teams, I think, who have better quality and who are in the right position in the table right now, obviously Shanghai International Port Group and Guan with those two at the top of the table. A huge game on Sunday evening. It's got to be the biggest fixture of the season so far. Guan bringing their perfect records to the reigning champions and the team in second. Brandon, how do you see this one going? And do you think that Guan would take the draw, or are they really going to go for the jugular? Because I think they'd open up an 8-point gap if they won this one.
I think they're going to go for it, but to be honest, I see this ending in a draw. It's going to be a really exciting match. It's going to be a really interesting match. I really want to see Kim Min-jae and Hulk or Elkison battle it out. I think that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, both sides are slightly banged up. Both sides have some issues. But it's going to be a good one. I see it ending in a draw. As a Guan fan, I've always said I'm never that optimistic where, you know, I see them going into a match like this and winning. But I do think a draw is very possible. 1-1, probably what we can expect.
Yeah, Cam, do you see it being tense? Do you see it being open? Do you think it's going to be a really good advert for, you know, the quality of teams at the top of the league and Chinese football in general?
Yeah, it's a great game. If anybody's a neutral out there, they should definitely make an effort to try and catch this match. It's a massive game. It's the biggest game of the season so far. And I think, don't forget, like, Guan's start is amazing. It's 10 wins out of 10. In some ways, they're hiding behind them is SIPG, who've won all but two of their games. They've only lost one and drawn one. The other eight, they've won. In any normal season, that would be top of the table form. So you've got to remember that SIPG are actually doing really well as well. As for the result, very hard to call. It's easy to say a draw. I don't know. I don't feel confident enough to predict either way, and I don't want to sit on the fence with a draw, so I'm just going to completely woos out and not say anything. but I would say,
wait, you could go on to win the league, though.
I was just about to say, if Guan win this game, I would say they'd be odds on to win the league.
Yeah, for sure.
Put it that way.
How important do you think it is that the home side wins this? Because, I mean, as you said, you made some really good points there. Guan's form is exceptional. You know, and their goals for and against as well, they've really been winning games fairly comfortably a lot of the time. Whereas, you know, Shanghai International Port Group, they've got a lot of points. They've kind of mucked on through some really patchy form and they're finding ways to win. And I've got a feeling that they're going to win the league this year. I still have them, you know, I think I picked them at the start of the season. I'm not saying I want them to, but I still have them for me as favourites. Even if this ends as a draw, I still fancy them to be on the top of the pile at the end of the season. You're clearly disagreeing there, Brandon.
Yeah, I mean, I think that any result short of an SIPG victory puts Guan in the driver's seat. They've already, you know, the start they're on, and without the pressure of the ACL on top of things, and that's something that we have to take into consideration for sure. I think their focus is entirely on the league. I think SIPG might be a little more focused on the ACL, a little more focused on other things. So I think, yeah, anything less than if Guan takes at least a point from this match, I'm happy, and I think it's their league, it's their title to lose this year.
Well, opinions raging around this game then. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. You know, lots of fence sitting, and I can see it ending as a draw as well, actually. But, I mean, I would echo what Cam said. I think this could be a great advert for the league, the drama and the quality again this year. So anyone out there, do tune into this one. We are going to draw a line under the pod for this week. It's a special shorter episode. We're recording quite late in the week, so we did want to go through all of the repercussions of the Champions League. And there'll be a couple of kind of special edition pods to look forward to over the next couple of weeks. We will be resuming normal service in a month's time or so, but I'm taking some time off until then, traveling around a bit, going to get married actually, and we could even have a special live recording later on. I think, do you have any concrete plans around that, Cam? Should people be watching their calendars for the kind of second week of June at this point?
Yeah, the Shanghai Football Mafia is in motion as we speak, and we should have some live podcasts in Shanghai to promote pretty soon, so watch this space.
Excellent. That's something for everyone to look forward to, and make your travel plans to be in Shanghai for that week now. Look forward to seeing some listeners there if we can. But we're going to relax and start looking forward to this big game now. Brandon, you're traveling down. Safe travels and enjoy the game.
Thanks, Steve, and congratulations on your marriage and hopefully the loss at Gongti. But we'll drink to happiness anyway.
Yes, that's right. I will be at Gongti to watch Shenhua lose once again as well. Big travel plans coming up. I'll be seeing you for some of them as well, Cam. So thanks for speaking virtually this week. See you again in person soon.
Cheers, Steve. I look forward to having a stag drink with you in Shanghai in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, people are invited to the pod recording and they're not invited to some of the other things that are going to go on. That's all I can say. But hopefully I'll be alive and kicking still at the end of it, and we will be back resuming normal service later on in the year. But for now, this has been your Chinese Football Podcast, brought to you by Wild East Football, and I've been your host, Steve Crooks. Thank you for listening.
The Chinese Football Podcast, brought to you by Wild East Football.
全场比赛结束了，我们终于出现了。